Tonight's podcast is brought to you by MacWeldon.com, the finest clothing establishment in the cyber virtual world, and also Kickapoo Joy Juice, the greatest tasting drink in the physical realm.
Sounds like a cat.
These guys are fucking with me tonight. Hey, everybody. I just got back from the zoo. I didn't have time to go home beforehand. Came straight to the podcast. And Eric is giving me shit because he's a fuckhead.
He must hate animals.
Yeah, he must hate animals. That's all I got to say about that. Welcome to the podcast, everybody.
Welcome. Tonight is we're going to do a Twin Peaks tribute. Twin Peaks is coming back, so we're doing a Twin Peaks tribute. Derek's doing his favorite character, Agent Tiger.
Agent Tiger.
Yeah, so you're a tiger.
No, that's the subterfuge of the agent. He's actually a lion.
Oh shit, I forgot to put on my costume. Hold on. Okay. Just give me a minute.
Yeah, Kevin, hold on.
I'm holding.
Hey, people at home, let's take a poll. Am I a tiger? Am I a lion? I think I'm a lion.
Wait, there should be another option. There should be a kitty cat in that option.
No.
I see a tiger.
There was a kitty cat option. I didn't get it. There was a tiger option. I didn't get it. A tiger, just so you know, newsflash, is orange with black stripes, and that's it. He doesn't have a lion's mane. I'm a lion.
I want to know what Rocket's costume is.
I'm the
Agent Cooper.
No, I'm Agent the Mulder. What's his name in the show? In this version,
looks like a dickhead. Thanks, whoever in the chat wrote that.
We're gonna have Twitch delete that account. Whoever just said that. Anyway, I'm Captain. I'm Captain Peak.
Nice.
I'm Peaky Blinders.
Okay. You are tuned in to the Mega 64 Twin Peaks Season 3 debut extravaganza.
Yeah.
Tonight we will be debating, will the new Twin Peaks be as bad as Season 1 or as bad as Season 2?
Or worse.
Worse.
Or the same. Check this out. I love a good cup of coffee. Theme song.
All of the times that you had your doubts, and don't forget all the trouble we got into. We got something you can undo. Do laughing so damn hard, crashed your dad's new car, all the scars we share. I promise, I swear, wherever you go, just always remember that you got a home for now and forever. And if you get low, just call me whenever.
Welcome back. I was getting tired of that cosplay. You know, no one should have to wear cosplay that is prohibitive to their health or to their well-being. And I was feeling a little, I was sweating and just losing life energy. You only have so much life energy. That's why I don't exercise, you know, because you don't want to expel that too early.
Yeah, if you exercise too much, you might die early.
You got to preserve your ki or chi, whatever you
You'll sweat it
whatever
out.
Side of Asian culture you're on. We didn't need that.
That's
sorry, my finger slipped. I meant to go to camera one.
All right.
Likely you know what? Speaking of, is it racist, Eric?
Uh-huh.
I'm a lion.
Is that what you think racism is?
Yeah. Lion is a race of cats. Duh. And the fact that you keep accusing me, assuming I'm a tiger, wow, dude. Fuck you.
Orange and black stripe.
I'm exploring my fursona, and this is not up for you to tell me what I am. And that's we're going to let it go after that. We don't need to call attention to me.
Yeah, that's it. No more of that. If Kevin says word one about anything, what he looks like or what I look like, chopping block.
Yeah. Shotgun Jesus says looks more like Garfield.
All right, we're going to have Twitch find out where he lives. And
yeah, I got a hatchet with that guy's dick's name on it. To quote Violent
that's
J.
That's a quote. We didn't, that's not our problem. That's a quote. We're quoting, I think Shakespeare was the first one.
Exactly.
And, that's how Romeo and Juliet ends. That's why they're both bummed out.
I'm sorry, everybody.
Anyway, what?
It's hot and it's making very hot. Shit melt.
It's like over 100 degrees in San Diego.
It sucks.
It sucks. Summer is here to stay. But it's a big week for movies, TV,
all kinds of stuff.
Video games, multimedia, wait, across the board.
Wait, wait, wait. Before you get to that, we got to address, we got to tackle the elephant in the room here.
Okay. Tackle the elephant.
Kevin is filling in because we got two slackers not pulling up the their weight. Sean is, I'm just, no gags, no jokes, no BS. Sean is on a family trip right now. He's on a family trip. And I asked him how it's going so far.
Yeah.
Because he's going to the Magical Kingdom.
Yeah.
He's going to Disneyland.
I think I know where this is going, but how is it?
I checked
May
in with
I
him.
May I guess?
I checked in with him a little
May
bit ago.
May I guess?
I can't think of a single word that he might have
used. Yeah. Make a wager. Fucking nightmare?
Did he well, use the term, it. Did he use the term fucking to describe his children's trip to Disneyland, followed up with nightmare?
He actually didn't.
Wow.
Whoa.
He said, I don't know, I'm not at the park yet.
What the fuck?
There's apparently some... Is there... This is my question.
Yeah.
What?
I was looking on Twitter and seeing...
It's 6 o'clock. It's 6 p.m. right now.
That was a little while ago. It was a little while ago.
Okay.
But not that long ago. I was looking on Twitter this week because Disneyland... Throughout the whole weekend, Disneyland's been tweeting out like...
We're closed.
Hey, yeah, we're like closing the gates. There are too many people here. Something's going on. And I'm like, what's going on? Is it a holiday weekend or what? Well, Sean's not even there or wasn't when I talked to him. And... he was driving up and it was just stopped. I mean, he's like, it's taken me all day.
Really?
Yeah. And so that's what the question I was going to pose is, what's going on? Because Memorial Day weekend is next weekend.
Yeah.
But our good friend Kurt Dog is saying it is grad weekend or something like that. And maybe. I think that must be what it is.
Yeah. Grads and grads.
Because, I was seeing tweets throughout the whole weekend that it was just hellacious. And I'm like, what's happening?
Yeah.
So now we got our answer. Anyway, so he's in the thick of that. I don't even know what he's doing.
He might still be in traffic on the way up.
It's 100 degree plus weekend, and he can't even get into the park.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's where
that's
he is.
That's a good family
trip.
And
then Garrett, just
wanted to go too.
He wanted to go, and he's you know what? He said, I'm gonna go to Disneyland too. Oh, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna park my bike down Little Italy and I'm gonna walk to Disneyland. Guess what? It takes 5 days to do that. So it's all take a car next time. Anyway,
so they're out of the picture. They don't, you know, they don't value your time.
But
clearly,
exactly.
You showed up, they didn't.
But good news. Good news. I have been designated
driver.
And given permission by Garrett to give a review. We want to review Alien Covenant, the big movie that came out. I got appointed to do the review for Garrett. So this is Garrett's review of Alien Covenant. It was another Alien movie. I ate some popcorn. We went and saw it, and it was another Alien movie. I'm not a critic like you guys, but it was another Alien movie, and I saw it, and we had a good time. We had popcorn.
Come on. You are selling Garrett short, okay? He sees more movies than probably anybody else on the podcast, and he has a very spot-on review style. Let me take a crack at Garrett's review of Alien Covenant.
By all means.
Hey, I saw it, you know? I didn't have... very big expectations for it. I liked it.
I am an Alien guy, so I'm gonna see the Alien movies.
I'm gonna keep seeing them.
And you know, it's you eat popcorn. It's good. It's another Alien movie. So anyway, there you have it, straight from the horse's mouth
straight from the lion's mouth.
Straight from the horse to the lion, and the witch and the wardrobe. Woo! There you have it. Folks, the official review. So I think that's all we need to say about that.
That's moment. Garrett's review. Alien Covenant did come out this week.
Yes.
Did you see it?
I did not see it.
He didn't.
All right, we're going to spoil it for you.
That's fine.
The aliens kill people.
Wait, you really don't care? Nobody cares?
No, I'm fine.
Okay. Well, okay. If you haven't seen Alien Covenant, we'll do this when we're done. Skip ahead. All right. They've been warned. Y'all been warned.
I actually... Okay. I don't want to spoil anything. I'll try not to.
We'll try not to.
Try not to.
We're going to try not
to. But hey, real talk. Some things may slip out in this conversation that maybe you don't want
to
hear.
But we're going to try not to.
We're going to try to save all the twists and turns, but we might slip up. So you've been warned.
Yes.
Okay, you're stepping into the lion's cage.
Yes.
Okay? You might get bit. What'd you think of it? So first off, let's talk about Prometheus real quick.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge fan of Prometheus. I'm a huge fan of the Alien franchise.
Yes.
Prometheus didn't really do it for me.
Mm.
I went into Alien Covenant kind of with no expectations, really hoping I would enjoy it. Mm-hmm. What did you think of Prometheus?
So where I stand with Prometheus, I like it, but I like it based on its ambition in terms of mythology. I actually like Prometheus's world and all the mythology shit in it. I almost like it at the most when it's as vaguely connected to Alien as possible. I loved they're exploring all this shit, and it's like, what is this mural of the? It looks kind of like the alien, but in this crucifix pose, and like, what does that mean? And what is this other stuff? I appreciated its ambition. Did it execute itself well as a movie? Nah, not really. But you know what I mean? I appreciate seeing this weird part of this universe. So I liked it for that. It had a lot of asshole, dumbass characters. And, you know, as a movie, it wasn't really contained that great, you know?
Yeah, but. And where I come from is, yeah, it was heavy on the mythology, but I kind of needed more than just that to get enjoyment out of it. And the mythology is kind of what they focused on with Prometheus.
Yes.
I felt like that's what they focused on to bring to the table that was new. And everything else was just kind of cherry-picked from the other Alien movies, which did it better. So I was disappointed. Sure. Disappointed with Prometheus.
I totally agree with that. That movie is very divisive, and I really think it comes down to if that mythology shit was enough for you or not.
Yeah.
And for me, I just liked that because I don't know a lot of other movies that have a mythology anywhere near that deep. You know what I mean? So I got a kick out of that, but I agree with the other stuff. I totally agree.
So now we come to Alien Covenant, also known as Alien Part 8. This is the eighth movie in the Alien franchise, which I actually have to give Alien credit. Alien 3 is the only movie that has a number attached to it. They've managed to make fucking eight movies without labeling them in any way. Kudos to you. Yeah. You almost tricked me into thinking there aren't eight of these movies, but there are.
Yeah.
And I feel like, personally, we've run out of things to say or do with Alien.
Mm-hmm.
I really was disappointed with Alien Covenant. It looks pretty. It's a pretty looking movie.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, just more mythology given to you with an even heavier hand.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say some, I'll go into it more, but what do you think?
I've been conflicted since I saw it.
Since you liked Prometheus, I want to know what you think.
Because, again, what I did like about Prometheus was that ambition. This is the quickest way I can say this thought. Prometheus was a ambitious thought of a movie executed poorly. This was a movie I thought was executed well with not a lot of ambition up here.
Yes! I agree. I walked out of the movie and I said, that movie is the hot girl that you're excited to go on a date with, but she is really mean to you and does not treat you right through the night. And at the end of the day, you don't really know if you want to go through with the second date.
Yeah. Now, I'll say this. When they announced this movie, I thought the first thing they showed was that poster and it just said run and it had the alien. And I thought, shit, all the people who complained about Prometheus got their way and they're just going to make a basic ass alien movie. Now, what I will say I'm happy about is as soon as this movie starts, it's like, oh, we're back in some Prometheus shit. Because I'll tell you, like, I really like the David character in Prometheus. It's the only probably fucking good character in that movie. I like that character. There immediately, and they start going into some crazy shit with that, and you do get some pretty worthy follow-up stuff to what was kind of came up in Prometheus.
Now,
and I was happy with that because I didn't think we were going to get any of that at all.
Sure.
So I was happy with that. I think it's the Achilles heel of this movie is honestly the connection to Alien. It's when that starts to seep in that it's like.
Well, I think that, you know, there's multiple Achilles heels.
Sure, maybe. But that was the weakest part.
What I think is funny, I think everybody will agree with you. David is the character to be invested in Prometheus and Alien Covenant.
Sure, yeah. They are so lucky they have Michael Fassbender.
But I will suggest that is because there is a lack of any other interesting fucking character, in Alien Covenant. And walking out of the movie, I was a little bit disappointed that, like, this kind of like mentally challenged robot is the only real character in a movie filled with human beings who have no personality, no desire, no story, no backstory, no character.
Yeah.
It's, you know, they show you, oh, this person kind of has a relationship with that person, and that's it. And they don't really take the time to get you invested in any of these people.
Yeah, for as much as there's criticism of the characters that were in Prometheus, maybe there were less dumb assholes in this movie, but I didn't know them any better. You know, like I not really.
I think that the people in this movie were less assholes, just as dumb.
Yeah, maybe.
Have you never seen a fucking alien movie before? There were so many tropes in this movie. It's a horror movie, just like the other alien movies. So the aliens are taking people out. They're killing people. And it's just, they do horror movie tropes that have been around since the 80s. Really? Of like, you know, kind of, this person's going to go off from the group. Do they have a good reason to go off from the group? No. Oh, go figure. The fucking alien gets them. I just wanted such a more intelligent movie that was there, and they just focused on all this mythology shit that, for me, I was like, I don't need that.
Well, and now again, I will say, I liked the mythology stuff, so I was interested in that, to a point. To a point. So that's a compliment I'll give it, is, like I said, I really didn't think we'd get any more elaboration on some Prometheus shit, and we did, and I was happy about that, but there came a point where it felt like, well, you're kind of manipulating it, though, in a way that we can get those eggs and the alien in there and the facehugger. I felt like the studio was like, you really, man, you got to get that alien in there. You know, make sure we see that alien. Mm. And it's funny because there's an old interview with Ridley Scott where he says, when he went into Prometheus, he's like, we got to do something different than that alien, specifically that the main alien. Because at this point, everyone's seen that so many times, you're not scared of it. So, you know, it's funny. I saw that a long time ago, and now here's this movie where that's back in it. And sure enough, that was not scary. I mean, it was so easily dealt with and not really intimidating.
Here,
you know? I don't know.
Here were my questions after I saw the movie to the people I saw it with. Was there any dialogue in the movie that you can remember? Were there any quotes that stood out to you as like badass?
I can remember stuff that David said. That's it.
Were there any parts that made you laugh?
Yeah.
Like really funny parts? I didn't really have any.
Oh, okay. Can I say?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, this is a
spoiler. We're going to spoil something.
But someone, I laughed actually pretty hard at, here's the alien egg. At this point, no one's seen it before.
Yeah.
And David is the one showing them about it. Like, come look at this. Take a look. And it opens up and he literally is like, yeah, look at it.
When
he kept saying like get closer,
dude, look,
I was cracking up. I was cracking up so much. He was like, shut the fuck up.
Once again, I'm thinking this is Alien fucking 8 and you're gonna go look into the fucking alien egg? Yeah. Are you kidding me right now? Yeah. And all right, but I'm gonna continue. Were there any parts that made you sad? For me, no. And I just
I like the stuff between the two robots. I like that stuff.
Yeah.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, it's like two special ed robots like talking to each other, and that's the movie. And I just felt like they didn't really take the time to make a good movie. And when the movie ended, the movie's over. I feel like there's a second half of this movie that they didn't film and they're not giving to me. And then I go home and I learn that there's four more movies planned. And I just think like, you should take all four of those scripts and just condense them into one and worry about making one good movie.
I actually will say, I actually liked how it ended.
Really?
I liked how it ended. And it was, there was a cliffhanger nature to it, but I also liked it. Like if there never was another one, I still liked that. It was kind of a fucked up ending. I liked it, but that's just
me. Regardless of whether the ending ends on a positive note or a negative note, I just felt like the pacing of the movie was, there was never a moment where these characters kind of took the situation by the balls and tried to kind of, okay, this is what's happening and we need to have a plan. It was a lot of people just like, oh, what's happening? Oh, what's crazy? And just, you know, passive characters that aren't really in charge of their own destiny.
Yeah.
They're just fucking pieces of dust being blown around in the wind. Sure. And they have no control of what's going on. And just wasn't very interesting to watch.
Sure.
And as soon as they start to actually take control and start doing stuff, the movie ended. Is it worth seeing? I wouldn't spend. I definitely wouldn't see it in IMAX.
I don't think they're doing that with this movie. I could be wrong.
I would wait to rent it.
I don't think they're doing any kind of special thing. It's just regular.
But I can't recommend this movie in theaters. I didn't like it, so I can't say go pay full price to see it.
I'll say that, again, there was enough weird shit in it that I didn't feel like I was ripped off. You know, again, as someone who liked that shit in Prometheus, I got more and I felt satisfied with that aspect, but the rest of it was just disappointing. So, yeah, I wouldn't say don't go, but you don't need to, like, you know, cancel any plans.
All right.
That's how I thought. Okay, we're done.
Spoilers are over.
We're done.
Done. Talking about Alien Covenant.
We're done.
Everything blows up. Shit.
Oh, man. Shouldn't have said that.
Hey, you've been watching some great movies.
Yes. So I'm doing an experiment right now. Check out this cool experiment. I'm watching all the Pirates of the Caribbean movies.
So you're getting
in a row.
You're getting basically psyched up to see Paul McCartney's Pirates of the Caribbean.
That's right. Paul
30-second cameo.
Paul tweeted out.
Get caught up on the
no,
story.
He's got to be in it more than that. They're going to elevate him. He's going to be the new Jack Sparrow. They'll probably because Johnny Depp can't do these forever, so they're probably going to get him out.
Yeah, Paul, they got to get some new blood.
Paul's in. Yeah, he's going to go. Oh, you know, well, you know, I got a bunch of sea turtles. You know, that's it. It's my impression of Paul. Anyway,
funny,
so I'm getting hyped.
Paul McCartney, he's going to be in the new one, but they don't have a good role for him. I already know that because any good role has already been taken by another actor. You've already seen Captain Jack Sparrow's dad.
Yeah.
You already know.
I've seen his mom.
Bootstrap. Oh, true.
Yeah.
True. You know, Bootstrap Bill is Orlando Bloom's father.
Yeah.
Like all the characters from the original, they're kind of older relatives have been filled out. So yeah. I feel like they're just going to give Paul McCartney like an unrelated bit part.
I think right now he's credited as guard number two.
Fuck.
So there you go. Hey.
He is on the fucking posters advertising this movie. He plays the character guard number two.
What role should we give Paul McCartney? Dude, fucking guard number two.
Can you imagine if every movie poster featured guard number two on the advertisement?
Maybe, I don't know. Could be cool.
He got the same poster as everyone else.
Yeah.
He's
a Beatle. Yeah. Maybe there'll be, I wonder if Ringo will like join in or something. They're like merry men.
They should be the ones
that sing, you know, those three pirates that when you go into the like burning village part, they're singing, yo ho, yo ho. Mm-hmm. It should be Ringo should show up and then like digital.
John should show up. Yeah.
Digital John.
Yep. Paul will be the donkey.
Use real John. It's about dead people coming back to life.
Yeah, they should do Derek's digital. Right? Yeah, dude.
Just put the corpse
they
up
did
there.
Moff Tarkin. They could do John Lennon.
Yeah.
Easy. Just have Sean Lennon show up and put a thing on.
Have Yoko Ono be the new Kraken.
Yeah.
I'm just spitballing here. So you're watching all the movies.
She broke up the ship. Sorry.
Good one. Nice. I saw the first three. I haven't seen the fourth one because two was god-awful and number three was even worse.
Did you hate two?
I did hate two.
Okay, because I saw the third one with you and we left like dying. It was like so bad. When they originally came out, I liked the first one, but I also like was like not that invested in it. I'm like, this was fun, but like it's don't worship this movie. This is not...
Well, let's rewind it. I went into the first movie. I saw it in theaters with the lowest expectations.
Sure,
I thought... They're making a Disneyland ride
into a movie.
That's not going to work.
Yeah.
And I was so pleasantly surprised all throughout
like everybody
that movie.
Was.
Yeah. I was expecting to hate it.
Yeah.
And it just constantly got me. And I was like, kudos. You know, you guys really made a great movie.
Yeah.
And then the second one just did not live up to it. And I remember the third one was kind of, it felt like it didn't even fit in, where they're like shooting people in the head. And
yeah,
like,
I remember that.
It was just, it felt out of character. So.
Yeah. So rewatching them now, I haven't really seen them since they came out, or maybe shortly thereafter. But anyway, the first one, I just remember thinking that one was okay, but I wasn't that invested in it. So when the second one came out, I liked it because it was like, it was another big swashbuckling pirate movie. Like I'm not that invested in the story anyway. I didn't think it was that great in the first one anyway. So I had a good time with the second one. But yeah, that third one just fucking killed me in the theater. It was so bad. Anyway, rewatching them now. The first one is really good.
Yeah.
That was really good. I used to think it was a little too long. Watching it now, I didn't feel that way. It was a perfectly choreographed symphony of like pirate shit.
Setups and payoffs,
yes,
to the max.
I, you know, I'm older and now I see all that. You know what I mean? So yes, it was great. And two is not, is kind of not entertaining me as much. Yeah, two is, I still think it's two is a bunch of sci-fi shit. As goofy as it sounds for a pirate movie, it's tangled up in a web of sci-fi shit. And
it's too big for its britches.
Yeah, it's like, it's not as perfectly fine-tuned as the first one. However, I could still, it's still, it's directed really good.
Yeah.
And there's a lot, it's brilliantly choreographed with a lot of stuff. So I think it's still entertaining to watch, but yeah, it's not.
But it also suffers from being the setup to the third movie, because starting with that one, the mentality was, we're going to keep this going into the next one and beyond.
Yeah. So anyway, so far I've only watched those first two. I'm in the midst of that.
Oh, so you haven't even seen
the fourth. I haven't rewatched the third and fourth yet. But I've never seen the fourth because everyone I know around me was like fleeing from it. So I never, but I found the Blu-rays for like $4. Yeah. So I got them. We're going to watch, I'm going to watch them all. We'll be back for another pirate update. Sean, when you edit this, do a pirate update, like intro. That's like me on the ship instead of Johnny Depp, and I'm like fending people off. No, I'm on the mast fighting against Davy Jones in that storm. So anyway, Sean, we want to see that.
If you ever get in out of Disneyland.
Yeah, we'll see. Anyway, so that's what I've been doing.
All right. Well, Maka is going to be in number 5. Guard number 2 from what we hear.
Can't wait.
He's going to be a badass guard. I can't imagine Paul McCartney guarding anything. He's so jolly. No, he's like a happy guy.
He guards the Beatles vault every day.
Do you think Paul McCartney's going to be like fucking mad in this? Like he's going to be an asshole? I can't imagine Paul McCartney like being mean or shooting somebody in the head as some characters on Pirates of the Caribbean tend to do.
We're really bad eggs, you know, every one of us. You know?
Oh, but then again, according to his ex-wife, he was like fucking vicious. So maybe we'll get to see that side of Paul.
I believe her.
Yeah. What was her name? Heather Sim?
Heather Mills.
Oh, okay.
Oh, man.
Why is Heather Sim so funny? It's not. Stop laughing.
You're right.
Everybody shut up.
Stuckus is funny. Hey, speaking of being funny, we made jokes earlier about Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk about that real quick. I don't think we're the biggest fans of Twin Peaks here.
I've never seen it.
Here's my experience with Twin Peaks. Highly recommended to me by people I always trusted with movies and television. And I watched it and I thought it was hipster shit. I thought boring story, cool costumes, cool sets, like nice aesthetic, but couldn't get into the story. I watched all of season one and I watched into season two and I just gave up. And I tried so hard. I gave it like a couple chances. Came back to it, and I thought, I'm older now, I'll try it again. I've tried to watch it 2 or 3 times.
Yeah.
Can't do it.
So, I was saying earlier, I think that the episode, there's a couple episodes towards the end of season one, and a few early on in season two, and I'll even say maybe the final episode, that are written and directed or whatever by David Lynch. I think those are exceptional episodes. I really like those episodes a lot. But it's not just that I don't think the other ones are as good. I think the other ones are of no artistic value whatsoever. Like, they are, like, agonizing to get through completely. But that being said, I will say this new Twin Peaks, I actually think it's pretty cool that David Lynch is writing and directing each one. However, my prediction for it, and so it's probably airing as this is coming out, so we'll see. If this is true, but I'm predicting this new Twin Peaks is going to be a disaster, and not because it's shitty or because whatever.
I actually
do like David Lynch. I actually do. For all that he may fail at, I appreciate that someone like him exists. So I think it's a great idea that he's writing and directing all of them, whether they turn out good or not. But I think it's going to be a disaster strictly because that guy don't give a shit about appealing to any fanboy sensibilities. And all these people have just seen it on Twin Peaks and they just want more, give me more. And I think the people who really understand David Lynch are going to be probably entertained as hell by whatever weird thing he does with this show. But you guys know out there, even the most hardcore fans, you guys know that there are some people out there who just saw that and want more. They're not going to get it. Mm. I really think that that there are fanboys who are just not prepared for what he's going to put out. I think you're going to see a lot of articles that are, this isn't Twin Peaks. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And
I think that's going to happen.
I think also any show that ends and comes back is a disappointment to the fans.
Sure.
Because it's just, you have all this time to think about what you want and what you wish it to be. And David Lynch is not going to read your mind. And there's no way he could read everybody's mind and give everybody what they want. So it's just, everybody's going to be disappointed. That's my prediction. I think people are going to see it and just not get what they feel like they wanted.
But I also, me personally, like, I'm in the camp of, like, you should make it different. Like, you should completely defy the expectation of anybody tuning into that, which, you know, I think, because if you try to emulate you can only fail, I feel like, you know, so I hope that's the way it goes. In all honesty, I think there will be people, but I think there will be people that no matter what can't prepare for that. So I'm curious what will happen.
Well, it starts tonight, so the reviews will be coming out soon.
We'll see if we are wrong. Were we wrong or right? Email podcast@mega64.com and we will read the answers next week like we always do.
Hey, speaking of reboots and bringing back classic shows, I have been watching a little scientific show on Netflix called Bill Nye Saves the World. That's right, I've been watching Bill Nye. I'm like a 5-year-old, except I'm in my 30s, and it's great because the show is made for people like me. I was a huge fan of Bill Nye in the 90s.
Check out the reaction in the chat.
Oh, God. Ew. Fuck. No. Oh, shit. That is so bad. Here's the thing. It's not the same Bill Nye show.
No.
That was around in the
90s. Bill Nye when I was a kid.
Yeah. And that show is on Netflix. And you can watch them. And clearly, it's very different.
Yeah.
It's almost like low budget. It's pretty extremely low budget compared to that last show. It's just him and like panels of guests and stuff. But you know what? I kind of have been enjoying this show, not for its entertainment value, but just for the fact that Bill Nye is taking on highly politicized topics. That's all it is. It is all, people are raging about climate change. People are raging about AI. People are raging about homeopathy. And he just tackles all those subjects. And in that way, in that sense, I find it very interesting just to get information on those topics that, you know, it's hard to get clear information on. Are the episodes, do they have extreme low points? Yes. I haven't seen all the episodes. You saw a later episode.
I watched the first one and a later one. And that's all I've seen. And I thought it was fucking terrible. So counterpoint. I didn't like the live action. I didn't like the live audience shit, and I didn't think it was.
The first episode was about climate change, and it was a little bit rough. I feel like the episodes about AI and
I didn't see that one.
And like I said, homeopathy, those were more interesting, legitimately, and kind of more fun to watch too. What I like about this show, I'll give it props. It's taking on political science topics, but it's not sticking to one side. It's taking on things that conservative people are kind of pissed off about or whatever. And it's taking stuff that liberal people are pissed off about, whatever. It takes on global warming. It also takes on like crystal remedies and like, you know, alternative medicine.
Sure,
it takes on vaccines, and it takes on artificial intelligence. So, you know, I'm watching it. Hey, I'm enjoying it. I'm not a fucking film critic like everybody else out there. My expectations were low, and I'm digging it.
Garrett's official review.
Clearly, I'm not the first person to come to the show, and clearly our fans don't like Bill Nye Saves the World.
Well, they
had Smarticles, so. But hey, I'm going to give it the thumbs up. I'm going to say check it out. If you're interested in science show that's taking on current topics, it's a good one. It's good for that.
Hey, speaking of science.
Yeah.
VR exists in science. I played a new VR game this week. Kind of a cool transition.
Nice. Right? How was it?
Sean, put me on the Tron grid right now. All right, I'm back. I'm outside of the grid now. Hey, everybody. This game came out this week. I wanted to talk about Farpoint VR came out. This game came out. It's a VR game where you're on this. You've crash landed on this planet. I know this is gonna shock a lot of people. There are aliens on it. Bad ones.
Shit.
But anyway, it's in VR,
this
but
keeps happening.
It just keeps happening. But what they've sold, which I guess what they're putting out, which I guess is kind of hard to find right now, is there's a bundle where it's the game, but also this, rifle, this like, yeah, it's like a rifle you can use, a rifle, controller that you can use in VR. And, yeah, so I was able to get that. And it's incredible, like, the technology behind that and how it works. It works perfect. I mean, you put the headset on, you're walking around on this planet, but you look at this, like, you're holding it and you feel it in your hands, but when you hold it in front of you in VR, it looks like this big-ass plasma rifle thing. And what really impressed me was that I would hold it up to my eye, you know, obviously I still have the headset on, mm-hmm. but I'd hold it up like that and I could see through the iron sights, like,
wow,
perfectly.
Really?
Like, yeah. It actually was like I could pinpoint shoot stuff. It was really awesome. Incredible.
That's my favorite thing about VR is holding stuff in your hands and like being able to manipulate it in a 3D space blows my mind.
It was nuts. Yeah, it was crazy. But anyway, I have to say this about the game, and I know I'm gonna get laughed at here, but maybe, you know, there's people out there who feel the same as me, and you know there's someone else out there in the universe. But I can't play this fucking game. I can't have something strapped to my head where things are like coming at me or like getting right in my face. I get this thing where I need to like get it off my head. Does that make sense? Like, this game, I'm fighting these crab things and they just jump at my face and it covers the lenses and it actually like upsets me. Like I gotta like take it off. I can't play stuff. It's not even a matter of it being scary. It's like I get this
weird. It invades your personal space?
It's like I get this weird claustrophobia or something. I've never been claustrophobic, but I get this weird, I don't want it on my head. And so like, I'm playing this game, but these things keep like jumping into my eyes and I'm like, I don't want to continue this. Like, I don't want to. Hmm. And I had the same thing with, obviously, Resident Evil was just terrifying. And yeah, I didn't want to play. Sure. But like, Batman did some of that, too. Or, you know, even like when someone's like right in my face, like talking to me in the thing, it's like, I just want to take this off. I'm not like comfortable.
Really?
Like, I can't just relax during that. I don't know what it is. I don't know what that is.
Are you talking kind of about the heist demo for VR?
Yeah.
Where the guy's getting in your face?
I had to like take that
you
off.
You said that, but that didn't bother me because I just was kind of laughing at it because I knew like, this is the one situation where somebody's getting in your face, but they are literally not going to do anything. You could fuck with them.
Fucking do whatever.
Like they get your hands. Yeah. And you're like lighting stuff and like going waving at them.
I didn't feel that kind of invasion of my private space or my personal space.
Yeah, it just my brain is really easily tricked into thinking that stuff is like right there or something. Because that shit happens to me. I mean, I remember back in the day when I used to go on like Star Tours and stuff, I knew it was all fake and I still had to tell myself like you're not falling. Like you're not, but my brain would go into that, would kick into that like you're falling. It's like, no, you're not. Stop. And yeah, when I play some of these VR games, it's like I'm like not comfortable. Like I don't know. So this game, it was like disappointed me in that way. But like what was there was cool. Like playing it was cool. So I haven't played that much of it. But yeah, it's totally awesome though. You have to try it.
I'll definitely try it.
It was incredible.
So do you recommend Farpoint VR?
Yeah. If you don't want a bunch of shit around your head, I mean, or if you don't mind that, I should say. Then which most people won't care. Then yeah, absolutely check that out. It is awesome. You could beat it in like. Yeah, it's probably 5 hours, give or take, I think, but it's absolutely worth it. It's really, cool. Really cool.
All right.
Yeah.
The next, the other big sci-fi game out this week, which we actually did a video for, Prey.
Yeah, Prey.
I've been playing Prey. Now, I'm going to spoil my review for it. I'm going to give it a bad review. And I'm going to do the review in a second. But I'm going to go in acknowledging I'm probably the only person who's going to give this game a bad review. Because I haven't really...
I just don't know that many people that got it. In all honesty, I don't.
I have not seen anybody not liking this game except for me. Maybe I have a problem because I just don't seem to enjoy things very much anymore.
Mike knows it. It's trying to get away from you.
But Prey kind of really let me down, honestly. I went into it really expecting that I was going to like it. I love Bethesda games. I was so excited to play this, and I was just waiting for it to really, like, engage me. And after about 2.5-3 hours, I realized it hasn't happened yet. And I didn't feel like I could keep going not being engaged. So, Prey, you know, I don't want to spoil too much of it, but it's very reminiscent of games that already exist. It's kind of a mix, in my opinion, of Deus Ex and Half-Life, with a little bit of BioShock thrown in there, kind of like the atmosphere of BioShock. Mm-hmm. Now, what I like about games is when they take the time to get you invested in what you're doing and the character that you're playing. Yeah. Best example by far is a Bethesda game, Fallout 3, where you are born, you're there for your character's birth, and in the first chapter of the game, you develop your character as you go through his life as a childhood, and they do all these character development things about your father, and all this stuff happens, and then when the game finally begins, you fucking know, like, oh shit, I have a huge adventure I'm about to go on. And I felt like Prey never bothered to do that. They have maybe 3 or 4 NPCs that you talk to very briefly in the beginning of the game, and then all this shit hits the fan and you're fucking by yourself with a wrench and it's just like, go. And why should I go? What am I doing here? What is the purpose of all this? Oh, you'll find that out later. And they have, instead of any cutscene that is cool and impressive, they just have this kind of Cortana character whispering in your ear, oh shit, fucking things just went crazy. You gotta figure out what's happening. I have a video you should see. It's going to explain everything. So you go through all this shit to get to where the video is. You hit play. All right. I'm going to fill you in on what's happening. Oh, fuck. The video broke. You need to fix the video. Go over here to find the thing to fix the video. Going through all this shit to get to the room to find the fucking stuff to fix the video. Oh, man. The door's locked. Oh, you got to get the key. The key's way over there. All right. I'm going over here. Oh, yeah, this is the terminal to actually find the person who has the key. They're over there. God damn it. All right, fucking going over here. Oh, you found the person, but he's locked in this thing that you need a suit. So now you got to go get this suit. And I'm just thinking, like, fucking, can you just play the video and get me fucking interested in this game already? And, yeah, not enjoying it. I think that it's not really that original. It just kind of is a cross-section of those games I already mentioned. Yeah. And I don't like it. So I'm the only person I've seen giving it this review.
Yeah, I was going to say, Frank especially wanted me to say that he played it like 8 hours nonstop yesterday and is like in love with it.
So let us, disclaimer, Frank played it for 8 hours and is in love with it.
Yeah, he really...
I wouldn't consider this a triple-A game. I would consider it a double-A game. Looks good. The mechanics are there, but where's that spark? Where's the lightning in the bottle? I didn't find it. Maybe you have to play 8 hours to really get into it, but I gave it 3 hours and was done. So I say wait till it's discounted because it's gonna be on sale for $20 soon. Nobody's playing it.
Yeah.
If you want to check it out, wait till it goes on sale.
I really don't know anybody other than Frank though that got it, in all honesty. Like ties into we did a video about it this week, and that was honestly its biggest obstacle. I really like this video that we made, but it was like, it's really funny, we put it out and I got so many reactions that were like, when did this come out? Or why are they making a Prey video that came out 10 years ago? No, there's a new one that just came out. Wait, what? It was really like eye-opening, like crazy. But from what I understand, like they didn't, like reviewers didn't get it, and like they didn't really advertise. Like I didn't see anything for it. In all honesty, like I heard about it from Frank.
Yeah.
All right. You know, I know a couple people who were
talking about it. The lion, because I'm still a lion, despite if my makeup is running or not. The lion is about to roar because people in the chat are saying I have bad taste in games. You know what? The barometer for what a good game is has been fucking lowered, and you people should expect more, okay? And if you think Prey is good, then you enjoy the fucking McDonald's of video games. And I'm sorry if I'm a prime rib, T-bone steak filet mignon kind of guy, but I can't sit around and fucking eat the naked fucking Doritos chips of video games. Fucking Taco Bell sponges. This game has fucking octopus fucking stupid ass fucking lame ass villains. And literally, and this is what our video is about, literally anything can pop out at you and be a villain. Isn't that scary? No, that's not scary. That's cheap. Oh, this coffee cup could scare me? Oh, this fucking computer can be a villain? Wow. Ooh, inky octopuses all over the place. What a great fucking game. Ooh, Half-Life with a wrench instead of a crowbar. Genius. Oh, shit. Yeah, I don't know games. You know what? Fucking educate yourselves.
Oh, I am educated, chat.
Thank you. That's all I had to say about
Derek,
Prey.
Derek?
Yeah.
Now I believe you're a lion.
Thank you.
Finally, the lion came out. It's about time. Now you're the crow.
Because I know
gone too soon.
I no longer needed it out here. It's in here now.
Nice.
Yeah, man. How do you follow that up? I think it's fun. I played it. It's fun. No, I didn't try it. No, but we made this video about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, but again, who does anyone care about Prey? I didn't know. None of us knew. But we were laughing so hard coming up with the ideas for it that it was like, we need to make this video. Let's make this video. And so I'm glad we did because I like it. I really like it. The idea was had to... In this video that we did, like, okay, he thinks everything is a mimic, so we could smash a bunch of stuff in our office. Like, let's set a bunch of things up that we don't mind smashing.
Oh, yeah. So basically, I did play Prey, and even though I wasn't enjoying it, I still get a laugh, and I was still inspired to make a skit.
The concept was great.
Because, the game, the enemies are these aliens called mimics, which can turn into any inanimate object. So literally, this coffee cup, fucking comes at you. This thing comes at you. So I'm playing the game with a wrench, just, okay, I'm going to hit everything in this room to make sure there's no goddamn mimics in here. And I thought, that's a funny way to live your life. Just anything can get you, and I'm just going to destroy everything I see.
Yeah.
So that was kind of the inspiration for our Prey video. What is Prey?
Yeah. So it just worked out perfect that Kevin let us know that, my family has a iMac that...
No, that's actually my old iMac that busted
a
couple years ago.
Okay.
And it was too old to fix, so I decided, hey, so it'd be good for a video to smash.
Kevin donated it kindly to the Mega 64 studio, and it was like, hey, I think we have our chance.
Yeah.
And I just want to let everyone know, that was a real iMac. It broke the way that you saw it.
And nobody was expecting.
No one was. I expected, you dented the screen.
No.
That thing shattered beautifully. And to add to that, the sound was not touched at all.
That was all.
Did not add a shattering sound to it or anything like that. So, anyway, beautifully done. I mean, he hit that thing and it was just, whoa. Like, nobody expected that. So, thank you again.
We've broken a lot of monitors and TVs in our time. Nothing has ever exploded like that IMAX did. The glass blew out of it. There was this huge pop to it.
Yeah.
That thing was nice.
Yeah.
It was so fun to break.
It was incredible.
I really liked when you came out of the bathroom like soaking wet. Nobody saw that. I didn't see that.
Okay, that was great. Not gonna say any locations.
Nope.
But
we filmed that in a local place. Local restaurant. I don't know if it's local. I think they have them all over. They have one, I think, in Philadelphia next to the Liberty Bell. It's a place that makes tacos.
I was just going to say we can taco a little more about it.
About the bell. We'll taco about the bell later. But the restaurant we were at, so we go in there, and what's funny is I saw one of my best friends from high school. In there, a guy I hadn't seen in seriously like 12 years. and he has a full beard now, and he's sitting there with a girl and three children.
Yeah, that blew me away.
And I was like, and I'm what? With these guys, and we're about to do this shit.
I wanted to talk to him. Let me just say, I knew him too. I wanted to talk to him too. But when I'm in that mode to like shoot a thing in public, I'm like in a bubble. Like, no.
Well, you know what? We've talked about this. It's harder to film stuff in public than it is to act it out.
Yeah.
I think because you're the guy with the camera.
It's harder being the cameraman versus the actor.
Yeah, so you're the guy who's on the hook when the shit hits the fan. They go, hey, you can't be filming that. What the fuck? And they all come at you because you have the camera.
Also, if you fuck up the shot, no matter how good your friends are or how much they're your best friends, everyone wants to fucking beat the shit out of you because why didn't you get the shot? You know, when you're...
Yeah, being the cameraman is more nerve-wracking. Yeah. So, yeah, I understand. I was acting, so I was a little bit more calm, and I went over to the guy, and I was like, dude, haven't seen you in forever. And he, like, stood up, wanted to catch up, and I kind of told him, I was like, yeah, hey, nice to see you. I'm not here to catch up. I'm here to give you a warning.
He must have went,
yeah,
like, what?
Yeah, and I was like, for real talk, you haven't seen me in a long time. I'm still doing Mega 64, internet stupid shit, and we are about to pull some shit in here. And then he kind of got this scared look on his face, and he went, what are you going to do? And I didn't want to tell him, so I was just like, you'll see. And then he asked me, he's like, should I take away the baby? to which I said, nah, the baby's going to be fine. Baby's not even going to know what the fuck's going on. But, you know, good to see you. And, hey, it's not some random guy in here. You know, this isn't like a fucking terrorist situation. It's me. I'm just like, you know, it's all going to be good. So then we went and we did this thing, which we went to the bathroom and I ordered some food and I told these guys, I'm going to put this food in the middle of the restaurant. I'm going to go to the bathroom and then I'm going to do the bit, come out, smash the food that I bought and exit. So we go into the bathroom and there's a guy already in the bathroom washing his hands at the sink. And I'm just waiting to use the sink. So I wait for him to leave. And when I have the bathroom to myself, I lock the door, turn on the sink and put my head into it. And I'm basically like hobo style washing my hair in this fast food restaurant bathroom. And you can't really tell in the video, but I took off my jacket and I soaked it in the sink and I soaked my hood and I soaked my arms in the thing because I wanted to look like I was crawling through the toilet.
Yeah, totally.
And I soaked my shirt and I like slapped it all over my face. I tried to get as wet as possible. So wet. And then I come out, calm down, and do my army flips and I'm going into it. And I think it turned out great.
Yeah.
I think it turned out really good.
Yeah. It was just one shot. We just wanted to make sure we got it. So you didn't have to do it again, you know, whatever. And, it went great. But to Derek's point about it being worse for the cameraman, I was the one who had to set up the camera by the bathroom. So here's me standing by the bathroom and let me tell you,
with a camera
aiming it down a hallway because I want him to come out
fast food place.
The men's bathroom is the side door. I want to see him poke out of that and come towards me. But to do that, I have to aim the camera directly at what's facing me is the women's bathroom. So I set up and hit record and I'm going like that. And two times I hear someone walk behind me and sigh as they walk by. And I'm like,
fucking guy.
And I'm in there going, Derek, are you fucking...
And I'm in like, there like taking a bath. Like, hold on.
Yeah. Derek's like, so... I just hear the sink running for 20 minutes. I'm like, can we please get the fuck out of here? I'm just standing here. Like, come on.
But...
And then, yeah.
First time we've ever had an inside man in the spot where we're doing it. Because my friend Facebook messaged me afterwards.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
An hour after we left, we come back to the office here. I get a message and he just basically says, whoa, dude, that shit was funny as fuck. The girl behind the counter lost her shit. And then I'm going to quote him. He ended the message with, I was like, damn, calm down, bitch. So there you have it. That's the report from the aftermath of where we were.
There you go. There you have it.
Now, yeah. Also, I was really happy with this video. I think it was really funny.
Yeah. Yeah, it was fun to film. That was what made it
very fun.
Good.
Very subtle joke in this video, fidget spinners.
Oh, yeah.
I walk in, fidget spinner on full blast, and I say I've had a chance to calm down, which, yes, is a reference to the idea that fidget spinners are like an ADHD calming tool for children. Mm. bullshit. I've been playing with a fidget spinner all week.
Me too. It like ended my production. Yeah. I couldn't do anything.
That thing made me more fucking hyperactive. I can't pay attention to anything with this fidget spinner here. I'm doing tricks. I'm dropping it on the table. I'm balancing it on shit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, ban those from all children.
But we should say that was almost kind of a tribute to something that went by the wayside.
Yeah. Do we want to expose what happened?
We don't even need to go into it a ton, I guess, but there was a video that was originally going to go out that we had already pretty much made that involved, that had fidget spinners in it, and it just wasn't turning out how we wanted it to. Very rarely will we actually, like, normally, even if a video is going wrong, we'll do something to it that, okay, that fixed it, or that, you know, whatever. But we did one that, it just wasn't hitting the point. It wasn't really, it was really funny conceptually, but when we did it, it was like, I don't know. I think we should try something else. And that's what led to this video. So that little spinner moment is a memorial.
We had a video. We were going to do a video kind of all about fidget spinners, which ended up not being that entertaining. And then we kind of segued it like, well, let's make it more than just about fidget spinners. But then, you know, we just had a bunch of fidget spinners and we were just playing with those and not really digging the video that we had made. So we retired it. You know what? It went into the vault.
Yeah.
The Mega 64 vault. Maybe we'll take it back. Maybe we'll take it out someday.
Yeah.
But as for now, it's a rare.
It's in the vault.
It's a rare item. Our famous, legendary, unseen fidget spinner video. Maybe you'll see it someday, but not online.
Nope.
Too raunchy, too hot for TV, as they say.
Too raunchy.
So we replaced it with What Is Prey, which I think was a smart choice, and I'm happier with the video that we got.
Yeah, I like that video. I like that video a lot. Oh, and by the way, how many people out there got my little hint to the ending of the video? You know, there is a twist. In case you haven't seen it, there is a big twist. Shyamalan style. I mean, we're talking drop everything, gasp. You won't believe it. But I did, I'm going to spoil it now. There was a little clue in this video that I was the alien all along because I was wearing a shirt that had a logo from an alien encounter ride that was at Disney World. And if you know what that logo was, you know there's something fucked up about me. It was not right for me to wear that shirt. Mm-hmm. So, you know, some people paused it after the first minute and thought, I know what happens. And probably didn't watch the rest because they already solved it. But all you non-Sherlocks out there, that's what happened.
Yeah. What's the opposite of Sherlock Holmes?
Who's
dumb?
Who's so dumb?
Mr. Bean?
No.
Yeah, no.
Brilliant physical comedy.
Hey, I'm really sorry.
Yeah. Brilliant physical comedy. Christ.
No, but the character.
Straight up, I apologize.
The character, yeah. If you're Mr. Bean, you probably didn't get the foreshadowing.
Brilliant. Who's that? Who's just straight up?
No, we pinned it. We nailed it.
Oh, we did? Awesome.
Alpha from Power Rangers.
What?
Trying to think of other characters you adore.
Come on. Is that who you adore, Rocco?
Oh, Will I Am. Somebody said Will I Am.
Hey, it's been a while since we've done a podcast. We actually had another video come out.
Yeah. Hey, real quick, I think we should pause for a second and do sponsors. And
okay.
We'll go back to that because we're getting kind of late here. So let's do that real fast. Then we'll get back to that. Hey, I want to thank our sponsors tonight, MacWeldon.com, the finest, most perfect clothing website on the internet.
Yeah, I see all these doctors saying you need a fidget spinner to stimulate yourself.
No.
Buy some Mack Weldon clothing, stimulate yourself and everybody who lays eyes on you.
Yeah.
You'll probably clear up medical conditions. We'll start seeing a wave of new health spreading across the land.
I can't imagine it would hurt. So go to MacWeldon.com, get some new outer garments and undergarments, and you'll be happy you did. And if you purchase today and use the offer code MEGA64, you're going to get a nice 20% discount on whatever you order. You don't want to pass that up. Trust me, it's worth it. Today I was on the treadmill in the MacWeldon shorts. It was like I was just laying in bed. I mean, it was like 100 degrees, and I was really sweaty, but
this guy was losing chi.
The shorts didn't know,
but the MacWeldon kept the chi.
The shorts were so dry you could have eaten off of them when I got off that treadmill. You could have just
visualize that for a
second. Plopped them down and dumped some mac and chi right there and just stop. So go to MacWeldon.com and get a pair for yourself.
People in the chat saying they have tried it because we've been plugging it for a little while and they love it.
There it is.
They're comfy. They're enough soft. Said. They look good. MacWeldon.com. Use the promo code MEGA64.
Yeah.
Also, I was going to go to the next one. Kickapoo Joy Juice. Our old standby. Our buddies.
Yeah.
They got our back. Kickapoo has always been here for us. And we've always been here for Kickapoo. What else is there to say? It's a match made in heaven. We love them.
Yep.
They love us. Have you still not tried a Kickapoo yet after all this time?
If you haven't, go to drinkkickapoo.com and follow Drink Kickapoo on Twitter, and you're going to find out exactly where to go to get a sip of this delicious beverage. And you can order it from their website, too. And on Amazon. It's on there. Kickapoo Joy Juice.
We don't have a promo code for Kickapoo.
No.
But you know what I'm going to say?
You don't need one.
You know what I'm going to say? Where do they sell it? Where's the store you can get it?
You go to Beverages and More.
Beverages and More.
Again, Amazon.com.
Well, no, I'm talking brick and mortar.
Physical, come and go.
Come and go. All right. They didn't do Mega 64 promo on the internet. I'm gonna do unofficial Mega 64 real world discount.
Wow.
Steal the Kickapoo.
Yeah.
From Beverages and More.
Oh, well.
The can doesn't cost very much, so they're not gonna press you with any legal charges.
Yeah.
You can get away with it. Here's the thing. Beverages and More, they already pay Kickapoo to get it in their store. So Kickapoo, they're not going to lose anything. So I'm going to work out a deal. Yeah. I'll work out the details with BevMo later. Go ahead and grab one off the shelf. Go for it. Try a Kickapoo.
I'm gonna actually take it a little more conservative and just be... I'm going to say play it cautious because we don't know what their deal is. I'm going to say ask at the store if you can steal it. Like, still plan to do it, but I would just ask them like, hey... I'm leaving without paying for this, just to try it. Because once you do, you're going to want to buy 1,000 cases of it at home.
All right. So, well, this is kind of like a Jacob Man in Black situation.
Yeah.
Who do you side with?
Yeah. So you decide.
Jacob or the Man in Black, Derek?
I am the polar bear. If he was a lion.
Yeah.
Okay. If there was a lion on the island and lost, it would have been a better show, and I'm representing that.
I agree. I gotta agree with that.
Thank you.
I also want to say real quick. Shop.com.
Wait, okay. Yeah, somebody in the chat, just shout out Mega 64 as you're running out of the store. You'll be good.
I'm sure that'll go over great. This was, by the way, all Sean's idea. Like, we're relaying what he wanted to do. And, you know, I say buy it as many cases as you can for Amazon directly and just have it delivered. But he had this whole viral thing.
Yeah,
anyway,
he did the sample viral
thing. We don't have enough time to explain where he was going for, though. We got to hurry up. So shop.mega64.com. is the place to go for Mega 64 merchandise. And I wanted to let everyone know, there's a lot of great stuff on there right now, currently, effective immediately. Oh, yeah. But people have been asking for this for so long. We got our shit together. This coming Friday, I don't know what the date is of that Friday. I should have looked this up.
26th.
The 26th? Yeah. May 26th?
Yeah, May 26th.
Friday, May 26th. Finally, after everyone asking, we're finally going to put the Neuro shirt on sale. Which is a shirt featuring artwork by Mariel Cartwright.
Nice.
It's a new design by her. Everyone's been asking for this, so that's going to go up on Friday. We're also going to put up, we have some leftover, our snapback hat with the Japanese on it. We did pre-orders for that for a while ago, but, you know, whenever you do pre-orders, you have a few leftover from this or that, whatever. Sometimes people don't, you know, vanish off the face of the earth. There's like a leftover situation. So we have some, yeah, left over, so to speak. So we'll put up those, and we're going to put up the Neuro shirt Friday, May 26th. So keep an eye out. And that's all good stuff. Anyway.
Wait, I want to do, can I do a personal shout out real quick? In case I didn't mention it, I did go to the zoo today. It's where I got this wonderful makeup done, my spirit animal.
Yeah.
I'll say the location, San Diego Zoo. And I didn't catch his name. I saw an internet soldier there.
Oh, did you?
Rocking a Mega 64 shirt at the zoo.
Very cool.
I think he was hanging out there with his family.
Awesome.
Bro, shouts out to you, the Mega 64 fan at the zoo. I walked past him. I said, sick shirt. He didn't recognize me at first. And he went, cool, thanks. Which just proves Mega 64 fans are nice. He was so friendly when he thought I was a stranger.
Yeah.
But then a moment later recognized me and was like, oh, dude. So... what's up, buddy? Thank you for repping us at the zoo today with your family and all the tourists. Everybody should get a Mega 64 shirt because you never know when you're going to see us in public.
That might top when I saw someone with a Mega 64 shirt at a sushi place I was at, and he didn't recognize me at all. And I kept trying, and I made like a couple jokes, and he looked really pissed off, so I left.
Nice.
Anyway. Yeah,
that happens sometimes.
That happens.
We've been doing Mega 64 a long time. I used to think it was funny when I saw a Mega 64 shirt. I would criticize it. Yeah. I would say, ha, that shirt sucks. Ha, you look like a loser. But then time and again, people didn't recognize me for Mega 64.
That's what happened to me.
And I would always get, I only wear this shirt on laundry day.
That's what happened to me. He said, I wore it to wash the car.
Yeah. And so now I say, right. Nice shirt. And they go, thanks. Yeah. Oh, it's you. What a nice encounter. So get a shirt and I'll give you a shout out when I see you in public.
Another shout out I want to give real fast too. I want to talk more about, because again, it's been a couple weeks since we had our podcast. And we just talked about the making of our Prey video. We have a Halo Fest video as well that we never talked about. But I want to say thank you to, he's not here, but I want to say thank you to Frank. Because Frank was involved in these and helped us out a lot. Especially with this Prey video. I mentioned earlier he was playing Prey, but he helped us out with that. Because again, he was really in tune with that game when I wasn't. You know, I didn't know a lot about it. But anyway, he contributed a lot. So thank you, Frank. Heavily, heavily thank you, Frank. But anyway, Halo Fest, that video was another one that came out.
Yeah.
And, do you want to say something about it?
No. Well, I do. I'll say stuff.
We'll say nothing.
It came out.
I wanted to say it was a very funny turn of events because we did this Games Alive video and I really liked it. And I had a lot of fun doing that.
Yeah.
And then we put it out and it's like, oh, Red Letter Media ripoff. This video's a fucking ripoff. Red Letter Media ripoff.
Kind of depressing.
I was like, man, I'd love to hear more about what people think about this that isn't that. That's all I'm hearing. I want to hear other stuff. Good or bad. Man. And honestly, frankly, I was a little pissed because I didn't think it was a ripoff of that. I really didn't, and I still don't. And so I was like, fuck, we got to do another great video and just, you know, get away from that, you know, whatever. Next one, we'll blow them away. And then we do the Halo Fest video, and it is a actual ripoff of a Mr. Show sketch. It is a word-for-word recreation of a Mr. Show sketch that I didn't realize at all. Not word-for-word. I shouldn't say word for word, but what I started seeing that feedback, and I'm like,
"Man, we suck."
I haven't. I love Mr. Show, but I hadn't watched it in like 10 years, you know. And so I was like, "Yeah, I kind of remember there being like a competing commercial skit or something like that." I guess that's not the most whatever concept. It's not like you couldn't do something like, "Oh, well, whatever." Uh-huh. So I got a little defensive. I saw those comments again. I'm like, great, now we're a ripoff of this. And then I watched it and I was like, oh, no, that's the same video. So anyway, but what are you going to do? No one had that talk. When we were making it, it was never like, it honestly, it wasn't a conscious thing. That was something, that's the danger of honestly, like I love doing what we do and making videos and we do it a lot of times on impulse and the things that make you laugh. And then within a day, you're filming it and you're doing it that sometimes you don't realize that, oh, yeah, okay. It was like that, you know? Yeah. Anyway.
Well, you know, we watched Mr. Show when it was coming out fresh, when there were new episodes. At least I remember watching it in like 97. Or
I didn't watch it when it came out. I saw it on DVD later.
At the very latest, you saw it like 2000, 2001, 15 or something years ago.
I saw it 2004 or 5.
Needless to say, it was influential on our sense of humor.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And I haven't watched it in about 10 or 15 years.
Yeah.
And I think that is just the danger of having influences sometimes is that you draw on these influences and then people are like, well, you're ripping it off. And, you know, we've done jokes that have been inspired or similar to things on The Simpsons.
Yeah.
South Park.
And I'll be the first to say it, too.
Even old SNL. Sure. And you know what? I'll say it's fair to say we ripped off Mr. Show. It's also unfair to say it because Halo Fest is in the news for, you know, Halo was the biggest game on Earth a decade ago. And now, who gives a fuck? And all these other esports games have risen to prominence and esports is now so serious and there's millions of dollars at stake. One is up here and one is down here. And 10 years ago, it was like this. And so, you know, I felt like it was an appropriate skit to make about that subject.
Oh, I totally agree.
So it goes both ways.
And we weren't really going after a specific, we weren't like trying to harp on a specific thing that had happened necessarily, but we just kept hearing about how Halo was like, they were having $1 million tournaments for Halo that no one was coming to, and like it was just empty bleachers and stuff like that. It wasn't like that just happened and we needed to do it. It was just like, where's Halo? Like what? Yeah. You know, it was just kind of funny. And so yeah, that's why.
Yeah. So the skit we filmed was, you know, who's the guy running Halo Fest? And even though they have $1 million, why is it so shitty? And why is nobody going? Yeah. And I still think that the skit is funny.
I agree.
And you know what?
Oh, yeah.
The Mr. Show sketch came out fucking 20 years ago. 20 years have passed.
After 20 years, you're allowed. That's the way it works.
You're allowed to repackage some humor 20 years later.
Yep. Guess what? That's what we're doing. Check out our video next week called The Audition is going to kill. Called The Game Audition. It's like someone wants to play Cortana.
And
can
that's
I
it.
Can I use this holodeck? Yeah. No. That was part of it.
So, yeah. One thing I wanted to say about this skit is, yeah, I was trying to think of who are the guys that are doing Halo Fest now. And in my mind, I'm thinking, well, these are guys who are probably my age because I was 15, 16 when Halo came out. I was prime, you know, video game age. It's probably 30-year-old guys who still play Halo. They're chunky dudes. They're a little bit nerdy. So in my mind, I wanted to create this character who was like that. And I tried to stick my gut out as far as I could and kind of hunch down. And there were so many comments of, wow, Derek is getting fucking fat. And you know, I should have had the foresight to see that coming. I should have known, like, nobody's going to look at this as a character thing. They're just going to say, you're chunky.
I told Derek on the opposite end of the spectrum, I remember, because it's funny, you never know what's in, how do you word it? What's done in character and what's not, you know, because you were doing that, but some people just don't think that you're thinking that far, and they just think, well, okay, you're that.
Yeah.
Because I remember doing Sexy 64 way back in the day, and I had gained a lot of weight, and I don't know what year it was, but I remember taking photos for it and doing like some serious like MySpace angle shit, you know, whatever. And I got all these comments that were like, wow, Rocco lost so much weight. And I'm like, no, that's a really shitty angle. Like, you know,
yeah.
So and that all, worked, but that worked out for me. So, hey.
And I know my angles. I know how to suck it in and push it back and stick my chin out and look fucking hot. But I wasn't doing that for this video.
Derek can look 10 times hotter than even right now.
Yeah. And I could look 10 times. In a video. And I could look 10 times uglier. I can sway it either way.
I can raise and lower my cholesterol.
It's an amazing ability that we have. We're actors. We're used to this.
Yeah.
And so, so the bad week for comments all around. We're creatively bankrupt, rip-off fuckheads, and one of us has gotten fucking fat.
Yeah.
So, you know what? I was so happy to put out the Prey video to follow that.
Yeah,
just
kinda
washed the sour taste out.
Yeah.
Of,
and now we have the new comment of, wait, Prey came out?
Yeah. But I think when Halo Fest, you know, it got kind of a bad rap when it came out. And, you know, Games Alive did too, as you said. I think years from now, people will look back and look fondly on these videos.
Yeah.
They're funny.
Yeah. And I still heard great stuff about the Games Alive thing. I'm not saying like
I stand by shit on, I stand
but it
by,
was hard to wade through all the
sure.
like your
I stand by all the videos because they're funny and you know we're just trying to make funny videos.
You heard it here first. The Mega 64 videos
we stand by them.
Are funny. The Mega that's a direct quote from the Mega 64 podcast.
Confirmed by the people who know best, the guys who made them.
Anyway, hey, wanted to say real quick. What do we want to say?
Let's talk important stuff.
Yeah. Just real quick.
We have a huge event coming later this year.
Yeah.
Annual fan meetup, Mega 64 Game Days. And yes. Let's talk about that. We announced that it's going to be in November 11th, if I remember correctly.
November 11th and 12th.
November 11th
and 12th. And the day one tickets are on sale.
Yes.
But the park tickets, we don't have a thing for the... any kind of like discount ticket thing or anything yet.
We do, but it's not valid yet. And this isn't our fault, but
no, it's only so many months ahead, right?
We always work with the people at Disneyland to try to secure group rates. discounted tickets to get in the park. We think that's important. But every year, the rules change at Disneyland.
It really does.
And we're not exaggerating. Every year, there's a whole list of... In the past, it was, here's a discount. Email blast this to everybody you know. That's what they said. And then it was, here's a link. Don't share this with anybody. We need to cross-reference everybody who's coming to your convention with everybody who buys the link. And we kind of, that didn't really work out.
Yeah, there was, seriously, one year they told us not to give the link out. And it was like, what?
And, you know, the concern with Disney, and I understand where they're coming from, they want to help us out. They want to make our event good. But they're worried that people who aren't coming to our event will find the link and abuse it. And people who aren't associated with us will get into Disneyland at a discount rate, which is fucked up. Why should you? If you're not cool and associated with Mega 64, you should pay full price. You dastardly villain.
Dick dastardly.
Dick dastardly. So... Disney has come up with a new solution to that issue. They have provided us with a discount link, but it will not be open until a few months before the event. So in July, coming in July, we will provide a discount link for the parks. And I can tell you now, it's coming in July. We could give it to you now, but the link will not be open on Disneyland's end for a few months. That's their new policy. But
just letting you guys know, it's not like they're going to sell out or anything like that. So you're good.
Disneyland's not selling out. And, you know, you'll save a few bucks. And that's very gracious of Disneyland.
Yeah. I wanted to say just real quick, in announcing all that stuff, I know there were some people that were kind of like, oh, California Adventure. I don't know about that. It's not as good as regular Disneyland, you know, I'm not sold on this, or I haven't spent a whole day at California Adventure before. All I want to say is trust us. That's all I want to say about that.
Yeah.
Trust us. The real draw of game days, because you could go to any of these parks any day. The draw is the people. We'll all be there. And it is going to be so much fun as ever. Mm. Again, I kind of said it on a thing I was doing on my personal channel, but California Adventure is different than it used to be. There's more stuff there than ever, and it's a lot of fun.
You're underselling this.
Okay.
You're gonna go with the Disneyland pimps.
That's also true.
I
didn't want to pull out the big guns.
Entirely new theme park. We're going to do things that have never been done before at any game days, okay? I know you want to ride Pirates of the Caribbean for the millionth time, and, you know, we all want to eat at the Country Bear Cafe and get a chicken leg or whatever. You already know what that experience is like, and I understand that there's a fear of the unknown, but I'm asking you, nay, I may be commanding you as an internet soldier to be brave. Be brave.
That's an order.
And trust us. Yeah. And I would like to point out, Game Days was inspired by a Mega 64 video that was filmed at California Adventure.
Yeah, specifically
there. The original Game Days video. So
we're going to Ground Zero.
We're going to Ground Zero.
Yeah.
And I know people are thinking, there's not enough at Game Days. It's not the same as Disneyland. And to those arguments, I have a couple of points to make. Disneyland hasn't built a new big ride in 22 years.
Yeah, I mean, they're doing it now.
Indiana Jones was built in 1995. What is the big e-ticket ride they put in since then? Nothing. Where have all those rides been put? California Adventure. I'm not going to say they have so many attractions, but they have a lot of new e-ticket rides that a lot of people have never been on.
I was going to say, though, but there's only so many things we can do in one day as a giant group.
And that's my second point.
And California Adventure has more than enough. It's going
to
be great.
When we go to Disneyland with Game Days, we're rolling with a group of 300 to 500 people. So we're not hitting every single event. We can only do about between 6 to 8 attractions throughout the entire day. And we have fan meetups and group meals and hangout sessions. There are more than enough attractions at Game Days to fill our day. We've already been talking about the things we want to do.
Yeah,
going on the Cars ride.
And I've got, let me just say, I've got a guy on the inside.
That's right.
I'm not going to say much.
This guy knows.
I've got a guy on the inside who maybe setting up something special.
We're setting up special rich person shit, okay? Not everybody gets to experience this, but we told them, hey, the pimps are coming to town.
Yep.
Don't make us hurt you.
We're going to see, and also...
That's what we told
we're
Disney.
Also going to... We're going to see if they'll, just for us, change the video on Soarin' Over... Well, it's Soarin' Over the World now.
Yeah.
On Soarin', we're going to have them change the video so that it's... What's something they could fly through in Mega 64?
I don't know. We're going to figure it out.
And we're going to loop just the part where you go over Yosemite.
Nice.
In honor of Sean. They don't even have to make a new video. Yeah. But in honor of Sean, we're going to just loop the part where it goes over Yosemite. And I'm going to point out... I'm going to be like, hey, that's where Sawyer was conceived.
He knows the rock.
Oh, come on, please. We all know where Fuck Rock is. Yeah. He told us the stories. Yeah, anyway.
Top of it.
Yeah, so, come on.
Yeah, but where's Finger
Well, don't
Bang
give
rock?
It away, because then people
that's
are going to go there.
That's the story I want to know.
People are going to go there as a, like a fertility idol or something.
And, you know, they're building this Guardians of the Galaxy shit, which I've heard is a fucking train wreck. Yeah. I can't wait to see this.
So I was just going to say, so the latest on that.
Yeah.
Everyone was already raging about that it was a cheap re-theme, and you know, people were upset about that. But I've heard from cast member previews that people who loved Tower of Terror are getting sick on this new one because it never stops being in motion to a song. So you get a random pop song every time you go on it. So it's like ABC. Everyone at home who told me to stop using my hands as I talk hated that segment. But no, anyway. So anyway, yeah, people were like, I was losing my shit. Like, I don't like that. So anyway, I mean, so why would you pass that up?
And you know what? We did a podcast once famously with Tommy Tallarico where we wrote the most terrifying Ferris wheel of all time.
Yeah. We got to do that as a group.
I want to take everybody at Game Days on the wheel.
Hey. We should commit right now.
And pick your poison.
We're going to go on the wheel. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You're going to go hardcore, terrifying style, or are you going to play it safe, whatever you want?
In case you don't remember that podcast, there's a swinging side and a non-swinging side. The non-swinging side is a peaceful journey to the top. The swinging side, you will fear things you do not know how to fear yet.
Yeah.
So I'm saying that should be on the schedule, the Tallarico Challenge.
The Tallarico Challenge.
Tommy Tallarico went on the hardcore side.
And when we go to Disneyland, we don't have a plan for all the rides we're going to hit.
Yeah.
But we usually, you know, we've done this for 7 years. We've kind of fallen into a rut or rather a swing of things where, you know, we kind of...
Yeah, not a rut. I mean, it was totally fun, but we were doing the same.
We kind of do Buzz Lightyear's Astro Blasters. Sure. Well, hey, they got Toy Story 3D blasters over there.
Yeah.
You know...
Which I like more than Buzz, personally.
I do too, actually.
I actually do.
It's kind of more fast-paced, and it's newer.
Yeah.
And, you know, Disneyland has Splash Mountain. They got their own Splash Mountain, the Bear River... which you've never been on.
No, I've never been on.
He's going to go on that for the first time.
Oh, I didn't say that.
I'm saying it.
Derek's saying it.
I said it.
I've never been on the swinging side of the Ferris wheel.
It's going to be
because it looked too terrifying. So now I'm wondering, where am I going to fall in the Tallarico challenge? When I'm standing there and I have a choice, I don't know what path I'm going to take. Yeah. So everyone at home, start thinking about what path you're going to take. Because I may go the light route. I may go the non-swinger. And maybe, you know, maybe I'll keep everyone company there who don't want to die.
I have, like, Vietnam flashbacks about that podcast.
I've done it once.
Yeah.
The swinging one.
But
I'll do it again.
I think I'm going to have to take a second tour of duty on Game
Days. I've never done it. I'm scared, but...
I've done it once. I can do it again.
In the name of Tallarico, I think I need
to. I was young then. I'm a new person.
That's right.
Yeah.
Older, wiser. So, anyway, you know what? Some people weren't sure if it was going to be as fun.
Wait, sorry. Someone asked am I scared of California Screamin'?
We haven't mentioned that yet.
You could threaten my life and everything that I have, and I would say, go ahead, because I won't go on that ride. You won't get me on that in any way, shape, or form.
We'll get him on it.
So guess what? Anybody who doesn't want to go on that, come with me, and we're going to be Under the Sea Little Mermaid.
He's
going to go on Little Mermaid. You know what? There's always a small group at Disneyland who goes on Space Mountain, which is classically the crazy ride at Disneyland. We're going to take that group. We're going to go on Screamin' California this year.
California Screamin'.
California Screamin', excuse me, which is crazier than Space Mountain, if you ask me. It has a loop on it.
Oh, shit.
It's going to be a fun time. I'm really excited for it, and I'm really excited for something new.
We should wrap this up. We're like way over.
Yeah.
Okay.
But thank you, everybody, for watching.
Wait, one more thing, and this is important. Our Patreon box is coming out very, very soon, within the next few days. And I'm super excited about the stuff that we have. I just want to say, keep your eye on the mail, because we're sending our packages out now. Some of you will be receiving your stuff soon. And
well, they're not sending now, but very soon.
Very soon. ASAP, and it's the best box we've ever done.
I agree. It's my favorite of all of them, personally.
It's my favorite, too. And this is all the boxes we've done so far, I've been excited to keep the stuff for myself. Mm-hmm. This is stuff that I want to show off to other people. I think people are going to be very impressed with the stuff we're putting out in this box. If you want more information on that, or you know, want to get a box of your own, go to patreon.com/mega64 and check it out for yourself.
Yes. And that's that.
That's it for the show tonight.
We'll
do an after show, maybe.
Yeah. All right. No, you know what? Let's wrap this up the right way. He's been stewing. It's been building inside. It's been cautiously waiting to erupt like a volcano. This final segment of the show is called Kevin's Rage. Sean, do a whole opening. A whole opening segment right here. That's all fire. It's like Mustafar in Revenge of the Sith. Just volcanic activity. And then Kevin is about to launch. He's going to get on a soapbox. And sorry, everyone who... I'm sorry, PC... Sorry, PC. He's going to say some stuff.
Yeah.
Here it is. Three, two, one.
I'm so fucking pissed. Good night.